78. I'm going to move this out here. I like to be close to the audience. Plus, this little thing here, I would trip over it so many times. You're going to think I'm going to jump on you, but I promise you I'll do my best not to. I just like to get involved. But Psalm chapter 78, this is my favorite part of the service, not because I'm preaching, but at the end of the day, what distinguishes Christians from all others, it has to be the Word of God. The reason why we believe what we believe, it's the authority of the Word of God. So many people have their opinions. So many people have their thoughts. And what I love to ask people sometimes is, and on what authority do you get that? And people don't like it. Well, what authority do you make your statements? I say it's on the authority of the Word of God. And so that's all I have. That's all I can stand on is the Word of God. Most people believe there's a God. Most people would say, yes, I believe there's a God. There's very few atheists. Nobody's born an atheist. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so you must convince yourself that there isn't. But most people believe that there's a God. I ask them this. I'll say, if there's a God, is He a big enough God that He can preserve His Word for us? Is He a big enough God that thousands of years in history, do we still have the book that God intended us to have, that you and I can see the instructions? You and I can see what the problem is with mankind. And most people say, yes, I believe He's a big enough God. And so I hope you agree with that tonight, that we have a big enough God that He gives us a Bible. And the Bible is our roadmap. The Bible is our guide for life. That is the only thing that you and I have as believers in Jesus Christ to lay a hold on. Oh, absolutely, for those that are believers, if we have the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us as believers in Christ. But the only way we know when the Holy Spirit's moving is if it's consistent with this book. And this book is what we must all seek to understand. It's the only way we can truly know Jesus Christ. He is the living Word, and this is the written Word. But Psalm chapter 78, let's read the first 8 verses with me. And tonight will be a focus. The title of the message tonight is, who is teaching our children? Who is teaching our children? Psalm chapter 78. Follow me when I read these first 8 verses. Verse 1 of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Verse 3. Which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And finally, verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Just 3 thoughts tonight, if you'll allow. Just a little background as we move into this. You'll see that this psalm was written by Asaph. You see that there in most of your Bibles, right above Psalm 78. Most of the psalms were written by David. This one happened to be David's chief musician. 1 Chronicles 16 gives us that background of who in the world is Asaph. He was the chief musician. He was a Levite. He was a priest, but he was the chief musician. What a blessing it is, isn't it, to have someone involved in music that also knows the Word of God. It's absolutely critical, and it's probably unusual in our day and age today. You get the musicians, and they don't know the Word of God, but Asaph was one of these musicians, and he knew the Word of God. You'll see his first words here in verse 1. He says, give ear, O my people. It's an important message. I believe every single person that's here today, you came because family is important to you. And this message here is something that you should give ear to as well. Give ear, O my people. It's a message that will help us with raising our children. And do you notice the phrase as we went through that? It said, their children. There's 2 kinds of fathers that are listed here in Psalm 78. One are the fathers of the past that were the good fathers, and they're saying, teach their children And the last one in verse 8 we'll see that are the fathers that are stubborn and rebellious, but it's for us to teach not only our children, but our grandchildren and all the generations to come what the truth is of the Word of God. Three thoughts in Psalm 78. The first thought I have is, Josh, I think you'll have to do this for me. The first thought I have is just be diligent. Do you see that there when he talks about that? He says, make them known. Do you see that where he says that in verse 5? He says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. You see that in verse 6? Who should arise and declare them to their children? Here's what we have in the 21st century. What we have in the 21st century is we have a culture. I'll only deal with the U.S. culture. I've been around the world, but I don't know all the cultures of the world and their educational systems. But here's the education system in America. It's we abdicate that and we give that over to somebody else. First, it's reading, writing, and arithmetic, and we let the school systems do that. And I'm not here to make a judgment on the right or wrong of that. I'm just observing what American culture is. If your children end up and they're not doing well, it's the school's fault. Well, my family and I, we homeschool, and I'm not saying homeschooling's for everyone, but we know if our children are idiots, whose problem it is. It's my wife's. And we share in that 80-20. And so, but for us, it's we've given that over. We've given that over to society just from the reading, writing, and arithmetic. Here's what we've done in our churches as well. We actually think that Sunday school, that children's church, that Hope Kids, all may be wonderful programs. We think that's enough. And our children will grow up and they're going to know the truth and they're going to know the Word of God. And here's what I want to tell you. I love the supplements. I love encouraging children. I love for children to learn and study the Word of God. And I'm supportive of ministries. At Hope Baptist Church, we have what we call family worship for all those that are 4 years old and up. They have to listen to me. But I love that. I love that they have to listen to preaching of the Word of God. They'll learn. They'll benefit from it. We have Hope Kids, but it's not during a service. One day, as God allows us to grow, we'll have Sunday school, which I love. That's just an additional hour of teaching. But I want every parent to be clear. Your children will not learn very much, will not learn enough, if all you have is Sunday school, children's church, and maybe Awanas, Hope Kids, Master Clubs, whatever the program might be at your particular church. That's not enough. The Word of God says it's our responsibility, parents. It's our responsibility to teach our children, to train our children. And we must be reminded of that. One of the most beautiful things about the Duggar family is they're responsible for their 19 children. And they know that. It's a great overwhelming burden, isn't it, at times to be a parent? But what a privilege to be a parent. But we're the ones that are responsible. Listen what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And he says, and these words which I command this day shall be in thine heart. And parents, Deuteronomy 6, 7, this is successful parenting. If you want to know what successful parenting is, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 says this, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Parents, are you always talking about Jesus Christ? Are you always talking about things of the Lord? That's what our lives should be dominated about. We need to teach our children every day in every way. My kids are a little older now. They're soon to be 19, 17, and 15. My son will be going away to Pensacola Christian College in just a couple of weeks. But I remember my oldest daughter, who's now 17, and we would play Barbies together. Maybe some are opposed to Barbies. I'd be fine if you outlawed Barbies. It'd be good. But we'd play Barbies together, and I was Ken, and she was Barbie. And we would walk up, and my first question was, hi, are you a Christian? And then she'd say, why, yes, I am. And I would say, are you a Baptist? And she'd say, why, yes, I am. And I would say, are you serving the Lord vigorously and mightily active in the Lord's service? We would go through all of that, you know. And eventually she didn't want to play Barbies with me too much. But I, you know, in all we do, if I'm going to play Barbies with my girls, I'm going to teach them some truths, right? And so Ken might get a little wayward, Hi, Barbie, would you like to come and live with me? And if she said yes, I'd say, oh no, that's wrong. The Bible says we should never do that, Barbie. The Bible says, and I made a mistake, Barbie. You know, we teach all kinds of things. We teach the children the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. My kids, one of my girls, they, you know, you try not to explain everything too early, but thou shalt not commit adultery. And so we had them memorize the Ten Commandments. And so one day we realized that one of my daughters thought, thou shalt not climb adult trees. And so we teach our kids the truths of the Bible. Sometimes they don't get it fully, but it's important for us. What the Bible says is when you rise up in the noonday, in the evening, we're dominated by the things of Jesus Christ. Parents, I get it. You get tired sometimes. You know the old show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? You know why they didn't go any higher? Because I think in sixth grade is when they roughly begin to be 12, 13 years old. Because when they turn 12, 13 years old, they lose their brain. And so teenagers, I love teenagers. You'll get your brain back. You don't realize it's gone, but it'll come back. And so are you smarter than a fifth grader? Absolutely. Are we smarter than a teenager? If you have your brain, absolutely. And so you get tired of it. You get the eye rolls. Sometimes you wish they'd get stuck. And so I want to encourage you, parents, never give up on your responsibility. If you're encouraged by one thing tonight, why not start devotions again with your family? Why not say, you know, I don't really know how to do devotions? Why not just begin to read a chapter of the Bible with your family? Are you asking the Lord to bless your food when you sit down and eat? Or have you even forgotten about that? Do your kids know why you ask the Lord to bless the food? Because we live in a cursed world, and everything we eat is from a cursed earth. Parents, what are your kids excited about? Probably what you're excited about. Are you excited about Jesus Christ? And you know what is important about parenting and training and teaching your children? It's those two words that say, I'm sorry. You know, my kids, because they're older, they shoot it to me straight sometimes, and I allow that as long as it's done in some level of respect. And my kids have said this. They said, Dad, that apology might mean something to me if it wasn't the 1,000th time you said you're sorry. And it's embarrassing when they tell me that. But I'll tell them this. Will you give me one more chance? Parents never get tired of saying you're sorry. Parents never get tired of telling your kids about Jesus Christ. Never get tired of telling your kids, why is it that we want to follow the Bible? It's not so that we're good people. It's so that we honor and glorify the Lord. You know, when we're talking about this, be diligent, there is one thing I've always noticed, and I struggle with this at times with parents. You know, there's a great difference between punishment and chastisement. You know, many parents, and I was in this spot as well, we are great punishers, aren't we? Go to your room forever! And they do something. Eternity is doubled. Never come back. You know, so we get real serious about our punishment. And you know, there is a punishment, and all of our sins will be punished. And when God punishes sin, let's look at punishment and chastisement from God's perspective. It is for His glory, and it is for His honor, and it's all about His holiness and His justice when He punishes. You understand? But the Bible says that God chastises His children. There's a great difference between punishment and chastisement. Punishment is for the benefit, chastisement is for the benefit of the one being chastised. Do you see the difference? Now, the spanking is going to hurt just as bad when it's punishment or when it's chastisement. It's not going to be any different. The kids are like, hey, if that's less pain, I'll take chastisement. I'll take answer B. But no, what it is, chastisement's the spirit we have, parents. Do you know why you are chastising your children and what you're trying to train your children to do? You know what it says in Proverbs 22:6? Train up the child in a way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You are training your children whether you know it or not. But are you conscious about your training of your children? Parents, I want to tell you this. Bring chastisement and bring it home. You know what the Bible said? He that spareth the rod hateth his son. Not spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod, hate your son. But if we do it in the wrong manner, if we punish our children and we take that same picture of God, we do it for our glory, our satisfaction. And let me tell you, I liked it occasionally. Now, I probably shouldn't admit that, but you know what? I think that would be wrong. Parents, make sure you're diligent with the raising of your children. Make sure it's surrounded by the Word of God, and make sure that everything you do is to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Secondly, I want you to look at the Scriptures, and the second thing I want to encourage you with is not only be diligent with your children, but be balanced. I want you to see in the Scriptures here, do you see where it says in verse 4. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 78. It says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." The first thing we must do with all of our children is we must show them God's grace and His mercy. Do you see that in verse 4? It's the first thing that shows up there. That's the balance. And I think as parents, we're pretty good at this, right? We're pretty good and we serve a great God. Can I get a good amen? Is God good? He is good, isn't He? Is God merciful? He is merciful. Is God gracious? He is. And we should tell our children that, and I believe that's job number one, that we tell our children how good, how gracious, and how merciful a God that we have. You see that in verse 4? I mean, we can brag about God, never exaggerate. It says this, that we come to sing His praises of the Lord, about His strength, about the wonderful works that He hath done. We need to make sure, job number one, is to tell our children what a great God we serve, what a gracious God we serve, and what a merciful God we serve. I tell our kids all the time in the service, I hope they know it. What is grace? It's getting something we don't deserve. What is mercy? Not getting what we deserve. Make sure your kids understand mercy. Now, here's the problem with my children. They would always ask, "Mercy!" when it was time to get spanked. But I told them, well, real biblical mercy was someone had to take your punishment. You understand, when God has mercy on a soul, it's only because of Jesus Christ. You see, you can't have true biblical mercy unless someone else takes your punishment. And so the first thing we must tell our kids is about the mercy and grace of God. You know what I found interesting? And I just noticed this week. It was fun for me. Exodus chapter 20. You all know what Exodus chapter 20 is. It's the Ten Commandments. It's the great chapter of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Exodus chapter 20. You know the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me"? Do you know what verse that happens in? Verse 3. What are the first two verses? It's talking about the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. What He says in those first two verses, He says, "I am the Lord thy God that has brought thee out of Egypt." And He talks about how good He was to Israel, how gracious He was to Israel. Parents, are you telling your kids what a great God we serve? What a mighty God we serve? And you make sure you tell them this. We're a sad representation of that. But our lives are about Jesus Christ. That second part of balance, first is how good and gracious God is. And I think most people get that down. But the second part of being balanced is about God's law and His justice. Do you see that in verse 5? He says, "For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should know them, that they should make them known to their children." Here's a gap in the 21st century in the United States. Everybody wants to talk about God's mercy. Everybody wants to talk about God's goodness. Everybody wants to talk about His grace, and it is amazing, isn't it? But you know, the second part of being a balanced parent is we must teach our kids about His law. And you see, that's a part where America has fallen short. When I talk to people, numerous people all the time, and I'll say, "Are you going to heaven when you die?" And most people say, "Absolutely, I hope so, yes." You know, and I'll say, "Well, how you getting there?" And that's when the interesting part of the conversation starts. Number one answer, 90 out of 100 people, they rely on that goodness, that grace, and that mercy in a misunderstanding way. They'll say, "Well, I'm doing a pretty good job, trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to be nice and do unto others as I would have them do unto me. And so, you know, I think I'm doing a pretty good job." That's their answer. Here's why, parents. We've fallen short. When we teach our children to obey, we must teach them that they've broken God's law and that there is a consequence for breaking God's law. Oh, we teach them what a great and merciful God we serve. But what we must teach them is we've lied. We've sinned and we've broken God's law. We ask people this all the time. Ray Comfort's one of my favorite street preachers that I know. He uses the law so effectively. But what we ask, is God a good judge? Is He a good judge? Well, if you, in the United States of America, if you stood before a good judge, and you had committed a crime, and you said, but judge, I'm a good guy. I'm a really good guy. And I've done all these good things. That judge, what is his responsibility? To bring justice. Is that judge allowed to say, well, my, oh my, you are such a good person, you can go. Now you say, sometimes a good judge here will lessen the sentence, but you're still guilty, are you not? You see, God is a good judge. Parents, what you must understand and teach your children is this. We've all broken the law of God. I believe there's many adults sitting here. When I have a crowd this large, adults sitting here today, you came in here today and you thought, I am awesome because I am accompanying my wife coming to the Duggars, 19 kids and counting, right? You're thinking, I'm going to heaven because I'm here. That's 90% of the husbands, maybe. And so, I want to tell you, you don't go to heaven because of your goodness. If you came tonight and you say, I don't care what you say, preacher, I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says if we've offended God in one point, we are guilty of all. What the Bible says is there's none righteous, no, not one, including this preacher. The only hope I have for heaven is by submitting to Jesus Christ, realizing I am nothing. And I need His blood, and I become His servant, I become His slave. That's my only hope for heaven. Parents, make sure your training of your children's balanced. Oh, you tell them how great a God we have. Our God is bigger than anything. Our God can do anything. But then what you must tell them is we serve a holy, a just, a righteous, and a good judge that will hold us accountable for our sin, and our sins will be punished. One of two places. My sins were punished on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. Jesus took my punishment, and it was for God's glory, and Jesus took my eternal punishment. But for those that don't submit to Christ, for those that say, I'm a good enough person, your sins will be punished in a place called hell. I don't get joy out of telling you that. But I have a responsibility to tell you that. Parents, be balanced in your teaching of your children. And then my final thought is be clear, or really it's why. Why? Who cares? Why is it so important? Let the Sunday school teacher teach my kids. Let the children's chapel kid teach my kids. Let the preacher teach my kids. It's not enough. We want to send our kids to school 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, and maybe we get 3 hours of church. It's not enough, parents. Why do we see this generation going the wrong way? Is America better now or 50 years ago? It's because there was a greater emphasis on the Word of God. Parents, here's the most beautiful thing about children. They're resilient. God gave them that. At times, I think my children should despise me, but they don't, because God gave them resiliency. That if I want to start again today, my kids will give me another chance. And that's a blessing of God. If they're 17 years old, you can start again. You can start again, parents, and do what's right. But why do we do all this? I want you to look at the Scriptures, and it tells us why we do all this. Here's the answer. It's just straight in Scripture. Look at verse 6. The first one is, if you look at verse 7, the first one is, that they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God. The reason why we tell our kids about the Lord, the reason why we tell our kids about the Bible, is that they might have hope. You know why I love our name, Hope Baptist Church? That name in the Bible means confident expectation. It's not wishy-washy, stick a needle in my eye. It's confidence. I have confidence in Jesus Christ. It's not wishy-washy. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked to Him this morning. I did. And we want to teach our kids about God that they might have hope. How many of you have been to a graduation ceremony this year? I love going to graduation ceremonies, and here's what I heard again. Here's the common graduation ceremony. Kids don't know why they're living. They talk something like this. Well, I finished this part of my journey. Now I guess I'll go off to college. Then I guess I'll get married. Then I guess I'll have kids. Then I guess I'll go to college. Then I'll get a job. Then I'll get married. Then I'll have kids. And they don't know what to say after that. But you know what? You know what the next thing they do? And then I'll die. Is that the hope that our children have? I want to tell you, the greatest thing to live for is Jesus Christ. I wake up every day, I've got a reason to live. I've got a reason to live. It's for my Savior. I'm going to live with my Savior for eternity. Do your kids know that? Or are you depressed, parents? Half the time I think our parents look so discouraged in our churches. Are you happy to be a Christian? Are you thrilled to be a Christian? Let's be excited about being Christians. Our kids won't have any hope if we think church isn't any fun. If we are miserable in our Christian walk, well, let's get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ so that our children might set their hope in God. That's the first reason why we do it. The second reason, look at the Scriptures here. In verse 7, not only that they might set their hope in God, that they might not forget the works of God, that they might not forget the works of God. Here's the amazing thing. You say, well, how can they forget the works of God? We've given tons of reasons for people to forget the works of God. Evolution completely removes God from anything to do with creation. You know, you ever hear Christians say this? Boy, you are lucky. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as luck. And when you say you're lucky, you know who you're removing? You're forgetting the works of God. There's no one that's lucky. If something happens good in your life, He's the Father of all gifts. He's the Father of all good things, the Bible says. Ah, but we remove God when we say, you know, we're lucky. How about this? I heard this just the other day. Well, Mother Nature didn't look kindly upon us. There's a million phrases, aren't there? You know what that is? It's to get God out of our vocabulary. It's so that we forget the works of God. But let's make sure of this. Christian parents, can we be different? I hope we never say Mother Nature did squat, because there's no such thing as Mother Nature. She's not around. She's not there, but God is. Chuck old Mother Nature. I hope we're not some people that say, lucky, 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 because there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as luck. Remember this, when we say it's lucky, we're forgetting the works of God. When something good happens to you, get on your knees and say, thank you, God. I thank you that you were so good to me, and make sure your children do as well. You know what children lack today so many times? They lack a thankful spirit because it's all luck. But let's make sure we tell our kids that we have much to be thankful for and not to forget the works of God. Then third, why? Do you see that in verse 7? He says, but keep His commandments. Here's the craziest thing in today's day and age. We think God's just some kind of rule monger going up there and going, hey, watch this, guys. I got this new rule. It's crazy. We as parents sometimes do that. Parents, if you have a crazy rule, change it. God never has a crazy rule. God never has a crazy commandment. God always has a purpose in every single thing He does. When God gives us a commandment, it's for our own good. It's not so that we're miserable. But you'd think, man, Christians are like this. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I don't want to do that. You think we're miserable. If we learn this, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Teach your children this. The commandments of the Bible are for our good. There is a generation upon generation growing up, and they've chucked the Bible. Living together is the norm. Sinful behavior is the norm. Teach your kids. If you choose that path, you will choose a path of destruction. You'll choose a path of misery. And God will always prove Himself to be true. Parents, teach people this. God gave us these wonderful commandments because He loves us. And that's why we do it all, so that they might set their hope in God. They may not forget the works of God, but they may keep His commandments. And in the fourth, and I'll close with this. The fourth one's the most sad one. Do you see that in verse 8? Here's why we declare from generation to generation the truths of God. Verse 8 says, they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I want to talk to the fathers just for a brief time. Fathers, are we stubborn and rebellious? Have we given up our God-given responsibility, our God-given privilege, And will one day our children cry out, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be like you. You're stubborn and rebellious. Fathers, repent. Fathers, today is the day of salvation. Fathers, you can't change yesterday. But today is the day of mercy. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, fathers, and make it right. I don't want my children to point to me and say, I don't want to be like you. I want to make it right. I want to be right with God. We need men in this country. We need men in our churches that will lead our families gently and lovingly and be men that will say, I didn't have a good day yesterday, but today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to start the day off right with the Lord. Mothers and fathers, this message has been to you. I love the Duggars. They're not perfect. They deserve to go to hell because of their sin. They're some of the best parents that we know of. But the message they tell you is this. They mess up. They must repent every day. Don't ever tire of turning to the Lord. Love being a parent. There's no life that's an accident. You understand that? No life that's an accident. When life occurs, God was involved. You've got children. Love the work ahead that you've got. I love being a parent. Part of it is because it exposes me, and it exposes me to all the sin I have before God. At the end of the day, it's all about God, isn't it? But parents, one great way you can honor the Lord is by trying again with your kids. Will you love your wives, fathers? Wives, will you give your husbands another chance? Kids, will you follow your parents? Give them another chance. We blow it a lot. But we want to do what's right. I pray tonight that you will consider to follow the Lord better as a parent. For those of you that are lost, I beg you, you need Christ. You need Him. There's no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. It's not being good. It's not Christ plus works. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus anything. It's Jesus Christ and in Him alone. When He was on the cross and He said, it is finished, there's nothing we can add to it. Turn to Christ. Kids, are you serious about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just the family thing? I'd beg you. Who is teaching our children? I know this, it should be we parents. Let's renew our commitment to the Lord again and do our God-given responsibility to teach our children the whole counsel of God. Let's pray.